Welcome to Innovation in Your Ears. This series follows the founders and businesses on the Level Up Accelerator program. I'm Charlie.
I'm Olu, and today you're going to hear from James at 42able.ai. You're going to hear all about his journey, his business, and what's next.
Hey, I'm James from 42able.ai. And we're working to make AI available and accessible to everybody.
Oh, so making AI accessible to all, what gives a bit more context? What does that mean?
So right now, AI is taking over every industry that we can think of. However, it's still incredibly difficult to run these models, to run the system behind the whole application, really. They need powerful GPUs, powerful... 42able.ai really is all about taking that infrastructure and our knowledge of building that infrastructure and packaging it to people who then could build upon that, build what their passions are, what their dreams are, and their use cases.
So potentially, if you've got no real technical background or knowledge of how it works,
exactly,
you could still utilize AI for a new business idea, your current business.
So it's to be easy to incorporate into existing applications. You might already have your user base, your traction and things, but you can bring in the models, give them a new application, a new use case to your own. But also for people who come up with new ideas, you know, this tech is bringing so many ideas to light, so many possibilities, but people have great ideas, but not the technical skill to build it. So 42able.ai is going to step in there and be like, hey guys, you can use these models, incorporate into your applications, build your applications upon this, and launch for yourself.
Yeah, okay, wow. So tell us where 42able are today. What's the journey been to date? How long have you been going?
So we started in 2020. At first we started focused on a bit of medical AI.
Right, yeah.
So it's always been AI, it's been our focus. It's been dream since, well, passion since university. I've first seen AI and seen the possibilities back in 2014. So quite a long journey. We started in 2020, medical AI, and we had so many issues trying to receive data, trying to get data from the medical industry, notoriously difficult to do, which, fair enough, because privacy rules, etc. So we had to kind of just step back a little bit and think, right, well, where is this going? Where is the industry going? And we saw that, you know, models could be incorporated into so many use cases. You know, we were so focused on this medical thing, but there's so much potential for them. So we did a little bit of a switch and we realized that, you know, we need to provide a service. We need to put our knowledge into an application and then offer that out. And it's using our passion of AI and going from there.
And where are you at today? Are you taking clients on? Have you got clients?
So today we're at a stage of where we're building out our own product, which we're hoping to launch in the next couple of months.
Awesome.
This is going to be it's an API system. It's going to allow people to, as I'm saying, incorporate the AI models into their own applications easily, conveniently, having a whole focus on accessibility. But we're also focused on helping businesses as like a bit of a development consulting kind of part. So if businesses still are a bit unsure about how AI can help them or be incorporated into their applications, then we're providing the service for us to step in and assist them with that and help them on that journey.
Right. And can that's up and running, people can come and work with you now?
Yes.
On that and get moving? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're going to go through a little bit of a rebrand, so the new website will be launched in the next couple of weeks. We've got some fantastic team behind us that are working with us on that. Once we're launched and we're out there, we're open for business.
Yeah, awesome. So, I guess for the listeners who may be in that second group of customers who, let's say, they've heard of AI, maybe they've had a bit of a play with ChatGPT recently, and they're wondering, surely there's something, some way this can help our business. Give us some examples. So let's say they can't quite visualize what that might be or how it might help. Have you got a couple of examples you can give to really make it really clear how or what sort of products or ways that AI could help a business?
It's a really weird one because it is, to some extent, endless to people's imagination. So in essence, anything that you can think in your brain or train in your brain or transport in your brain, you could theoretically create a model on that and simulate that through a neural network digitally. So you could think of a use case. Financial industry is big. We're spotting trends in pricing, price structures, supermarkets, spotting trends in stock supplies. What is an impact? What kind of external data then impacts what they sell, foot traffic? You've then got digital focus of websites, so they can see what is selling to their users. So if you've got a SaaS application, what are them users doing before they purchase your product?
Right.
Okay. And then how can you then provide that system to people who aren't purchasing your product? How can you pull in more people and providing that workflow to them?
Yeah. And what about more traditional industries? So somebody's got shops or a warehouse, physical brick and mortar businesses.
So one that we've really looked at recently, it's a pool table business, and it's a local business, but they have a big issue with, they have customers all over the UK, and they need to dispatch their pool tables. This local business, as I say, local family business, they need to dispatch their pool tables, but then they need to plan the route, and it takes them an afternoon to plan the best route.
Wow, okay.
So they put in all the places.
Because there's multiple stops, etc.
Yeah, so you could go to Scotland, next one could be in the middle of England, and then over to Wales, and literally anywhere all over the UK. So then they try and plan the best route that they can. But as I say, it takes a whole afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have a use case there of having a model that you just put in your destinations. It would then work out the best route for you. It could then work out your fuel costs. It could take into account local traffic.
So
you could give people really a nice, accurate delivery time, whilst also benefiting you for your cost saving, for your fuel, for your time, for your drivers, and then getting home safely.
Yeah, okay, wow. So really, it works for everyone, whether traditional business, whether you're a SaaS business or fintech, it doesn't really matter. Like, AI can be used all over the place.
The use cases are endless. And this is something that we're seeing. So it's like, okay, we're capable of building these models, building this infrastructure, and then people are coming to us to say, oh, well, I'm currently got this workflow. This is the mentality that I have every day. What can you do to help that? And then we're reversing that kind of thing. Okay, well, you could have this model that does this, this, and this. It takes these steps away from you doing that.
Yeah.
But it takes the communication of the both parties.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what every single person does. You know, take the pool table example. We didn't know that. It's obvious. It's an obvious example once you think of it, but we didn't think that they would be achieving, they would be doing that. That's their time-consuming activity kind of thing until they came to us and told us about that. It's like, well, guys, we could help you here.
So I guess the best way for people to get involved and maybe explore ways AI could help their business in particular is just to get in touch,
and
speak to you and have that conversation and sort of, I guess, talk about ideas they've got, challenges they've got, what's time consuming, and just see, okay, is there a way that we can quite quickly and easily provide a solution that improves that?
Exactly. Just a simple, easy conversation. You can get in touch with us at hello@42able.ai. 42able.ai. Just get in touch with us and we can see how we can help and how AI can impact your business, cost saving, and more efficient.
Yeah, amazing. So, keen to go back a little bit, back in time a bit more. So, you said you discovered AI whilst at university.
Yeah.
Were you always entrepreneurial? What was it like growing up? Were you studious? Were you rebelling and skipping class?
No, I was a good student. I think I was a good student. Through school, you know, technology has always been a part of my life. I've been very lucky to have parents who have allowed us to have computers and things as children, put themselves out in order to afford them kind of thing. I've been obsessed with technology from a very young age. First thing was like Excel spreadsheets, just like silly, like, you know, your house teams that you have in school, you know, we had Jupiter, Mars, Saturn,
I remember that kind of thing.
Yeah, like a nice spreadsheet, like year one have achieved this many points, year two have done this in primary school, you know?
So were you proactively just building things like that for the school or?
No, for myself. It
just
was just
for yourself,
nothing
right,
to do with the school, just Sunday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Just build something like that out.
Just play around with it, okay.
Yeah. And then that carried on through high school and things. You know, you'd build websites, silly little websites, you know, they're like 90s websites of like word arts, colours and things, stuff like that. And then I think for me, it was in sixth form that I thought, you know what, actually, this is like a solid passion. This is what I want to run with. And I started business studies in form six. With a great teacher called Alwyn Pritchard. And he he kind of like led me to here, really, in a way, because I'd known nothing about business up until that point, you know, and learning all that, learning what he had to teach was incredible.
Did that excite you? Some people go through business classes and find it actually very academic and theoretical, perhaps, and just want to get out and get their hands dirty.
Yeah.
But others love it and find it really informative.
Well, it kind of you have your dream, don't you, of what you want to achieve, and then you're listening to someone like this telling you, and it's like, wow, this is how you can make it happen. This is how you can bring your dreams to the real world.
So he was kind of like connecting dots for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
An incredible teacher. He had a motto, cool is the rule, which I think like carries through, because like being an entrepreneur is really, really stressful at times. But having that kind of motto behind you, like cool is the rule, it's like, you know, it's simple, but it's effective. Mm. So that's what led me here. And then I went to university, and then in third year uni, I think I got a bit like fatigued with like being in education.
Ready to go then.
Yeah, at that point then it was a bit like, you know what, I want to go now.
That when 42able was sort of forming, or the idea was forming?
It was, in a way, but then we didn't have the money to run with what we wanted to do. And, you know, then even though it's not a long, long time ago, cloud computing was incredibly expensive for what we would have liked to have done, and the tech wasn't really there. So it's a case of, okay, I started a business of just like website design, development kind of thing, just bring some money in. And then once the time arose for us to do what I wanted to do, it's like, right, do it.
So you had to bide your time a little bit for the technology to catch up and make it more accessible.
Exactly.
Which I guess, I'm assuming anyway, that feeds into your desire to make AI accessible.
Yeah.
Because you had to sit and wait.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's quite painful in ways. You know, you build these little applications and it's like, you know what, I can't actually run this, I can't train this, it's too expensive for me, I haven't got the capital kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you wait and, you know, I'm not saying it's cheap now, it's still incredibly expensive to run these things, hence why what we're doing is here. But it's more practical for us now.
Yeah.
So
I'm always intrigued about that transition period for founders, whether you're in work, whether you're in education, whatever it might be. Like, at what point did you decide, yes, this is worth pursuing, there's an opportunity, that people want it? And also, you know, we're ready, we've got enough funds, we're going for it. What was that moment for you where you sort of had that clarity and conviction to move forwards?
Well, I think for me, I mean, I've never really worked kind of thing. You know, I've gone straight from university to starting business, and then like from that business to 42able. So I've never had that kind of thing. I worked in PC World for like 3 weeks.
Have you ever had to do an interview?
Once. PC World.
Wow.
Yeah, when I was in uni, I thought, right, I need a little bit of money, I want to buy a MacBook. I did, yeah. So I worked in PC World for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks, if that.
What, to get a discount on...
Yeah, to get a discount and a bit of money to buy the MacBook.
Yeah, that's quite entrepreneurial.
Yeah, once I had it, that was it. That was gone.
Yeah.
I used it to create a flag quizzer app. It was when apps started becoming the thing. But you needed a MacBook to launch on like iOS and stuff. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have an iPhone at the time. It was like a HTC Desire thing, like this really bricky phone. So I created a flag quizzer app, which the app actually had brought in enough money to pay for the MacBook. In a roundabout way, there was no real point. Yeah,
yeah,
it was like a nice cycle. That was over the summer of 2012, I think. In terms of like 42able, for us, it was a case of like us realizing, right, this is going to be really big in the next couple of years. We need to start now to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
Which I feel we still are to some extent. You know, I think in the next few years, you're going to have a lot of competition for us. But right now, it is still quite low. It's still new. OpenAI are launching a lot of great tools that are taking the world by storm. You know, some of their numbers of users is staggering in the time period. So it's like taking that and taking the fascination with AI now of how much it can.
Yeah. And who's behind 42able then? Who's in the team?
Oh, okay, so at the moment it's two of us. It's myself, James. I'm James. And it's my good friend, Ben. Now, Ben, I used to live in the Midlands in England. I moved here when I was 13 to North Wales, to Ynysmon, and went to your school, Government Llangefni. And Ben was the person I was partnered with to show me around the school.
Ah, wow, okay.
Yeah, and Ben's tour of the school was, this is the school. That was it. There was no tour. This is the score. Get on with it.
But it worked. You're still friends. You're in business together.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, many years on. Like it's great friendship.
And did you stay in touch the whole time? Were you always exploring stuff? Or
I mean, we've never been apart in a way.
Yeah.
We went to uni together as well. We went to sixth form together. As I said, we were in school together. So the whole journey. After uni, Ben stayed and did a PhD. He didn't want to leave at that point, and then he's completed his PhD now, and he's helping us out with 42 Ball as co-founder. And
what lies ahead, I guess, in the next year or two in terms of team growth? What's the focus of 42 Ball?
Well, we've recognised that we need quite aggressive growth right now. We need to build the team out, and I think that's something that we've really kind of sat back and thought. We haven't got the skills for everything. We can't sit there and do absolutely everything the company needs. We need to grow the team out to assist us with that, to get us to where we want to be. We're hoping to launch, well, we will be launching our platform later this year. But to get there, we do need to build our team out. We do want to have an incentive team here in MSpark. So that is kind of this year's goal, is to build out.
Yeah, awesome. And how are you doing that? Is it self-funding? Are you going to be doing a funding round?
We're looking at a funding round right now. We think we need to go to that kind of.
I'm presumably bringing in some smart money, other expertise as well as cash.
There's great network here from MSpark. There's great people who have been in touch with us already. There's a lot of interest with AI right now. We've been in touch with individuals from Google. Spoke to a fantastic gentleman the other day who's looking at incorporating AI into the building trade.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and you look at smart buildings now. So with the cost of living and that all going on around the world, it's not just here in the UK, having a smart building of where your heating is controlled, your kind of electricity is more controlled and regulated to suit your needs, especially in the commercial aspect, could really save costs and be beneficial to everybody, and
for the environment as well.
Everything's about being more green, and a lot of businesses have this goal of being totally carbon neutral by 2030, and 2030 is very quickly coming, and I think a lot of businesses are going to realise like, oh okay, we haven't took this seriously, we're all saying this date and suddenly it's here.
That's really interesting. I guess the market's so hot right now that and the technology is becoming more and more accessible, especially with a solution such as 42 Ball. I guess a challenge for you, and I'd be intrigued to see how this pans out, is how do you keep up? The demand's going to be so high because there's so many use cases. That's going to be a really interesting challenge for you guys, how you can grow at scale and service as many people as you can in as many scenarios and industries as possible without overstretching. And
this is the focus of us growing our team right now. We've recognised that we really need to. We've got the tech behind us now. We've spent the last couple of years to refine that tech, to get that right. And now we are at a stage of, okay, we need to pull the people in to meet the market demand, as to say, and to get into the market.
Who would you say has been most influential in your life, or at least in the last sort of 5 years with business? Have you been surrounded by really good mentors and role models?
Yeah, I'm very, very lucky. Very, very lucky, and I know I'm lucky to have such an incredible support network around me. I've got fantastic family and friends. I've got, being here in MSpark, you have a fantastic network here, such an incredibly friendly network. We've been part of the Level Up program here as well, which has benefited us incredibly much. So incredibly much. And then you've got other people who have come from external sources. Got people who are interested in our business, who want to know more, who are there to assist us, and we can fall on if we need to. We've got people from historical as well. So like I said, teachers and things like that. They've had huge impacts really to where we are today. And without them, I wonder if we would even be here with what we're doing. Yeah.
It's really good that I think that you're aware, and you've obviously reflected on that, as to, it's not, no one does well in business or life alone.
Yes.
It does take, it takes lots of people. Yeah. What's the phrase? It takes a village to raise a child. And I think Yeah, it's great that you're aware. You know, have you told all these people what they...
Oh, no. No, gosh, so, no, I'm not. No, I should really.
Yeah.
I should, but yeah, maybe a good Christmas present or something.
Yeah, I think it's important to share and let people know the impact they have had. Yeah. So, you know, it encourages them to continue having that impact on others.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe gives them a nudge to continue giving that impact to you as well.
Yeah.
You don't want them to be complacent.
No.
I'm intrigued then. So, we're asking everybody this, so...
Yeah.
For people who are thinking of starting a business, about to, or in the process, or even those who are, you know, in the first couple of years of business, what would you say the most important traits needed to develop and have?
I think giving up is really easy. So, like, you know, if you really believe in something, you don't give up. And if you're following a passion, you need that to not give up. Because you need to have that drive to something you really believe in, something you really want to achieve. Because it is hard. There are the ups and downs, and that is like a whole mental exercise. But as I just said in the previous question, like having such an incredible support network, you know, I know that I could message someone if I needed help with something, I'm struggling with something, you know, I could reach out to someone. So I think with that, you need to have a network behind you. And not be scared of building a network.
And that's not just employees, that's, you know, everything from mum and dad to friends the dog, you know, whoever.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, dogs are incredibly powerful, you know.
A lot of founders I speak to that you know, they say actually that walk with the dog
every evening
is actually whether they're, you know, losing the plot and talking to the dog or...
Oh, you always talk to your dog, right?
Just walking in silence. Actually, you know, it does play a huge part. It keeps them active. It's, you know, it's massive.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And it's something I do myself, actually. Like, well, we've got 3 dogs, but one of them doesn't like the dark. So he has to get walked on a weekend in the day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. The other two, they get walked in the evenings. They're okay.
Yeah.
But they're quiet. They're kelpies, they are. So they have a lot of energy. So you could be walking along and, you know, they'd be dragging you along and then suddenly they'll just stop for some reason and you've got your back, like, jawed out kind of thing. But yeah, they're great.
That's good. They're probably forcing you to switch off from work and step back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's nice, I think, you know, you it's just nice to have nothing in your head sometimes, isn't it? Yeah. And we're very lucky to, as well, here in North Wales of where we live. There's so many great walks and, you know, you're never too far away from somewhere decent.
And what would you say the people who talk about the challenges on entrepreneurship and the pain points, and, you know, we've heard it all a million times. There's lots of unknowns and downs on the journey, but tell us a bit about, like, what are the best bits about it?
I think there are more best, like, good bits to bad bits.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. And I think one thing for me is when you work so hard and you build something, and it could be something really small. And then people are like, oh, this is really good, you know. And people are like, have such positive opinions of what you've built and you've spent so much time on it. That is so rewarding and that is worth any negative aspect.
Yeah, okay.
You know, having that kind of like, wow, you know, I've done that, I've did that. But I think then it's sometimes too easy to be hard on yourself and be like, oh, I could make this better. But I think, yes, that's what business is, isn't it? You're constantly improving, so...
I think that's a constant struggle for most founders naturally, those who start a business want to solve problems.
Yes.
So it's very easy to constantly see the problems and want to fix more. And as soon as you fix one thing, well, guess what? There's another, you know, you just move to the next one in the list and there's a constant flow of problems to be solved, essentially. But I think you're right. It's important to take stock and pause and acknowledge the wins. Because you're right, there are, especially if you're a problem solver and you're moving quickly.
Yeah.
There's always successes along the way. There's small wins and big wins all the time.
Yeah.
But it's making sure that you're aware of them.
Yeah, I think for us, it's been really nice because working with AI is something that it is new. It is something that you can't just go online and see what other people's mass experiences are kind of thing. But then having people like reach out to us and be like, oh, hey guys, what is it that you're creating? What is it that you're doing? You know, people having this kind of curiosity about what we're doing. And it kind of like gives you this positive like smile. It's this big smile on your face, isn't it? You receive one of them emails in your inbox. It's like, oh, you know, I'll tell you what I'm doing. Yeah, you want to know, kind of thing, which I think is great. But I think one of the other big positives of being an entrepreneur is following your passion and your dream. I think you have to be a dreamer. You have to have that dream and that vision. And being able to follow that is such an incredible experience in life, I think. and such a time like worthy thing to do.
Love the positivity. What would you another recommendation for people? What's the one productivity hack that you would share?
Don't know, I'm the best for things like this. My inbox is terrible. I'm terrible for replying to emails. But yeah, that's one thing. I think, so I used to keep a to-do list, and that to-do list kept getting bigger and bigger, and things weren't getting done because it was getting so big, so you forget about the old thing. It's just, no. So one thing I've done recently, and it's really started to work, is use a calendar more. You know, actually say, this time I'm doing this.
Right,
this
okay,
kind
yeah.
of job,
so
this activity.
Just planned in when you're going to do it.
Exactly, yeah. Instead of just writing a list out when, you know, you don't know when you're going to do it, having it in your calendar and arranging for that time, that's for that.
And is that even for really small things?
Yeah, everything. Yeah, oh, my calendar okay. is like, yeah, every single second is it's timed, and I fall off that time and I'm like, right, I've got to get back onto my time.
And how's that working? Is it allowing you to not feel the stress of a massive to-do list?
Yeah, it is. In the way that, you know, a lot of things have deadlines. You know, you've got to file your taxes by this date, you've got to do this by that date. So having it in your calendar, you know exactly when you're doing it, you know you will be in debt, and you know HMRC aren't going to come along with a big fine.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, it's done. Whereas if it's in your to-do list, it's easy to be forgotten about, or on the last minute, you know, a few years ago, I was here on, like, New Year's Eve, like, trying to do my tax return, and I'm like, no, I want to be at home at a party, I shouldn't be doing this, this is silly. But no, having that, and you're doing it months earlier, and instead of it just passing in, kicking it down the line.
Yeah, nice. What book, movie, or podcast would you recommend to someone starting their entrepreneurial journey?
Oh, well, I have to recommend. I know you said entrepreneurial journey at the end, so I'll just ignore that little bit for a second. But for a book, it has to be Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I mean, our name comes from that. 42. It's the answer to life, universe, everything. So I have to recommend that. That has to be the first one. But in terms of your journey, I think. For me, what's been so valuable is seeing other people's journeys, reading about other people's journeys. So reading autobiographies, you know, even, you know, the big ones and the small ones, you know, your Richard Bransons, your Steve Jobs, your things like that, but also your small ones. You know, like UK-specific, like, entrepreneurs. I think, yeah, autobiographies for me is what is, like, yeah.
You love them.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
What's the one question you were hoping I was going to ask?
Hoping you were going to ask?
Yeah.
Oh. I think about our name, which I've managed just to get in there. Yeah, because I think a lot of people don't know where our names come from, the 42. And then when they realise, it's like, oh yeah, of course. Like,
yeah, it makes sense. A bit of storytelling to be done there, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've got to draw that picture a bit. And
yeah. I like the determination. I've not asked it, but you've just stuffed it in anyway.
Yeah, that was going to be shoved in somewhere. Yeah,
nice. So James, look, it'd be really, really good to understand a bit more about the journey of the why, the business, where it comes from, and kind of next steps. I particularly love the clarity you've got around your purpose and why you exist in that it's to make AI accessible to all. Sure. I think that's really strong, and I think that's it in itself makes it welcome and accessible for anyone to reach out, especially right now when it's such a hot topic for people to reach out and just ask as informed or as stupid as the question might feel, to just reach out and ask, is there something we should be doing with AI and
exactly.
What would that look like? How long would it take? You know, it doesn't have to be 2-year projects. No. I think people often think that.
Oh gosh, no, some of these are weeks, you know.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that expensive. So what's the best way for people to get in touch with you and find out a bit more about your journey, your services, and just to speak to you?
So yeah, you can go to 42able.ai. You can spell it with the numbers or the letters. That's both ways work. Or you can email us at hello@42able.ai as well.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember to follow us on all our social media and the businesses featured in this episode.